Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We continue to be under COVID-19 restrictions, and it looks like we're going to be here for a few more weeks as the Ontario government announcing that emergency restrictions are going to be in place, particularly for large groups, until at least June the 30th. And so that means that we will not be able to have a Sunday morning service for at least another month. And then we'll have to see where things go from there. So looks like we're going to continue to be under these restrictions over the next little while. And we want to remind you of some different ways that you can remain connected with your church family during this time. We've got some great resources that are available to you, and you can use those. Our Facebook group is our first place that you can gather together, and you can look at the things that we posted there. You can interact. We usually have some kind of question each week. And if you have any resources that you would like to be on there, you can just let me know, and I will put those there. And it's a great way to stay connected with people. Almost all the things that are at the Facebook group end up in our daily encouragement, along with some other things. And we send that out 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday. Just another way that we can remain connected during this time, because no one needs to feel isolated, even though some of our actions are restricted. We also have a great prayer chain that's running, and it runs through email, and so you can join that or send prayer requests. You just send those prayer requests to prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. Denise has done a great job of keeping us informed about the different prayer requests, and so if you want to get onto that list, just email that email address, prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca, and Denise will make sure that you get on that list. Thank you so much, everyone, for your generosity of continuing to give to Calendar Bay Church. We wouldn't be able to function without your generosity and your faithful giving. And so thank you very much for each person who's been giving faithfully to our church. But if you want to do that, you can go to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and there is a place for you to, you just go to the About tab and you click there, and it'll say ways that you can donate, and click there. I know that many of you have already set up Calendar Bay Church as one of your places that you give to. And so once you get it set up, I think it's pretty well set. So thank you to Monique, who's been managing our finances during this time, and to thank you to you for your generosity in helping us out. Oh, the other way that you can give is by just mailing your gift in. And so just mail it to 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0, Box 218. So that's Box 218, 888 Calendar Bay Drive, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. We also have some other resources that we make available. We have a worship playlist, which just gives you an additional worship experience to the service here this morning. And so you can access that at any time. All you have to do is go to our YouTube channel, and you can access them there. We also have these great resources that are available. One is the Discovery Bible Study, which is made available for parents to be able to have a lesson that ties in with the message here on Sunday. And you can go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and go to the Discovery Bible Study. We also have a small group curriculum that is available, and you can either join one of our small groups that are functioning right now, or you can just use this resource for your own family, or maybe in a discussion with another church member. And so you can access those on our webpage at calendarbaychurch.ca. Well, we want to take some time this morning just to be able to reflect and to give thanks to God for his gift of his son. And so we're going to be celebrating communion together. And if you haven't had a chance to set up and get ready, I encourage you just to go grab some juice and some crackers and get ready to be able to share with one another. But in order to be able to kind of lead us into our communion time, we're going to watch this video together. As we take the opportunity to be able to share together what Jesus asked us to do, a way of remembering his sacrifice on the cross. And I just want you to take a moment, as we've already just watched a video together, just to be able to reflect and give thanks to God for the precious gift that he gave us by dying on the cross for us and the life that we have. And so let's just take a moment and pause and give thanks to God. Jesus, thank you so much for the gift that you gave in the sacrificing of yourself so that we might have forgiveness of sins. And so, Father, we pray that as we eat together, that it would be with thankful hearts for this precious gift that you've given. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. Jesus also, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. And he said, this is the cup that represents the new covenant that is in my blood. And every time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me until I return. And I thought we would just take a moment right now just to pray for whatever concerns are weighing on your heart. Maybe you've got a physical need. Maybe you have a spiritual need. Maybe you have an emotional need. And I want you to think of that right now as we take an opportunity to pray for those needs. We're thankful that in the shed blood of Jesus Christ that there is forgiveness, but there is also healing and completeness that comes with it. And so as you think of what it is that is concerning you today, let's just take a moment and lift those things up to the Lord. Father, I pray for those that are watching this morning. That, Father, if they have a physical need, that, Father, you would be ministering to it right now, that your healing hand would be upon them, and that, Father, you would be restoring and renewing them. Father, maybe they have a spiritual need that they want to have you work in, that they are feeling helpless, but, Father, we know that you are able. And so, Father, we lift these spiritual concerns up to you, knowing that you are able to work in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. And Father, for those that are going through emotionally distressing times and grief and are just feeling overwhelmed, Father, I pray that right now you would meet them at their point of need and that you would give the encouragement that they need at this point. That, Father, you would be healing their hearts and healing their minds. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as we drink together, it's with thanksgiving for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Just before we go into God's word this morning, I want us to sing together. This is another one of my favorite songs. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Glorious day. Let's sing it together.
Jesus came forth to be born of us.
Living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. Oh, the glorious day of when Christ will return. And we've been speaking about Christ in our series of messages that we've been looking at. It's been called, Who is This Man? Looking at the life of Jesus and how Jesus impacted the time that he lived in and how that has gone through history and still continues to affect us today. That Jesus's impact is just as much or more than when he was alive here on earth. There was a conference where they were talking about speaking. And it was a conference that was to encourage speakers on how to be better. And so somebody asked the question, what is the key ingredient? What is the thing that makes someone an effective speaker? And so is there one kind of ingredient? So I thought this was really interesting because, well, I speak a lot. And so what is the one thing that would be helpful? Now, there are a number of things that you can use to be able to tweak, but is there one thing? And so they came up with this one idea, and it was passion. That if someone is passionate about what they are talking about, they have a far better opportunity to be able to inspire people and to encourage people and be an effective speaker than those that have no passion. There was an illustration of two Greek philosophers who taught. And the one, after he finished, the people would say, he is a very good speaker. But after the second one spoke, people would say, let's march. That he just motivated people to action. And it's passion that motivates people. Think about your own life and the teachers that inspired you the most. You know, probably you've had some elementary teacher, university prof, high school teacher, pastor, somebody who motivated you and you were just so overwhelmed by their teaching. And what was it about it? Well, chances are it was passionate, that they were passionate about what they spoke about. And people are looking to be inspired. People don't want to merely exist. They want to thrive. And so it's like people are saying, inspire me. Remind me that my life matters. Call me to my best self. Appeal to whatever in me is most noble and honorable. Don't let me go the path of least resistance. Challenge me to make my life about something more than the acquisition of money or success. People want to be inspired. They want to live for something greater than themselves. Even in this day, as racial tensions are riding so high in the States, I've heard a number of people say, you know, who's going to be the next Martin Luther King? That voice that is going to inspire people to change the world through peace and nonviolent actions. Who's going to be that individual? Who's going to have that passion? Because the uninspired life is really, really uninspiring. It's boring. I don't think people want to live uninspired lives. You know, they don't want to merely go through the motions. To get up one day, you know, sometimes I can do this, you know, just get caught up in the rut of life. I get up at this time, I do this, I do this, I do this. And then at the end of the day, I kind of fall into my bed, another day complete. And you just go through the motions. Nobody wants to just go through the motions. Actually, it's been really hard. Many people during this, the COVID-19 restrictions, they don't even know what day of the week it is because we're just on a loop and we don't know what we're doing. We don't want to merely go through the motions. In our families, we don't want to forget that our children are worth an all-out effort. Sometimes we just get caught up in the busyness of life and we get doing things. And so it gets to the point where we don't put forth our best efforts. and we fail to do good work because it's just too hard. Most things that are worth doing don't fail because they're not worth doing anymore. They fail because we tried and it was too hard and then we quit. And so we want to make sure that we don't just live an uninspired life and fail to do the things that we're supposed to do because it just got too hard. And to live each day as if it doesn't matter. Each day that we have is a gift from God. And that we're to be using it for His honor and His glory. And sometimes we just live as if life doesn't matter. Well, in many regards, our society is teaching us that. If there is no God and there is no higher purpose, then life is meaningless. And so you just go through the motion and you have to try to create some meaning because life has no meaning. And so people begin to live as if each day doesn't matter. And it really is the greatest tragedy. That we just go through life like we're on cruise control. And we miss the greater things that God is calling us to. If you were to define inspiration, it means it comes from beyond ourselves. If we're to be inspired, usually inspiration, by definition, comes from outside of ourselves. The great theologian Merriam-Webster defines it to be to influence, move, or guide by divine or supernatural inspiration. And so this is to be inspired is to be influenced or moved by supernatural, something supernatural. That's to be inspired. Another idea is that it is the breath that makes us alive. And when you're inspired, it's like breath coming into you and it's making you alive. And so that is what inspiration is. There's a story in Scripture, which is one of those, I call it a wow story in Scripture, where something miraculous and crazy happens, and it's called the Transfiguration. Now, we just hinted at this story last week, but we want to go into it a little bit more fully right now. It's recorded in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. So it's in a number of different spots in Scripture. And Jesus goes up to a mountaintop to pray with Peter, James, and John. So it's a smaller circle. Jesus had the 12 disciples, but he had kind of his inner circle. So he has the inner circle that's with him, and that's Peter, James, and John. And so they're going up on the mountainside to pray. And mountaintops are often places of inspiration and vision. You know, we talk about having that mountaintop experience where we just have a glorious experience. Oftentimes, mountaintops are used to, you know, to because it gives you good vision. I can attest to this because I worked in Jasper for a summer. And when you're on the top of a mountain, man, you can see a long distance because you've got perspective to be able to see. And actually, it's also an incredibly moving experience. I found one of my greatest spiritual experiences that I ever had in my life was when I was on the top of a mountain. And I felt like I met with God and inspired me to be able to enjoy His creation and to see His hand all around me. And so mountaintops are often these places of inspiration. And while Jesus is praying with His disciples, all of a sudden He becomes radiant, that He starts to glow. Now, I've seen this a couple times in movies that have tried to capture Jesus' life. I don't think anybody's quite got the Transfiguration right, because this was an incredibly crazy experience. Jesus begins to glow as He's praying. He becomes radiant. And during this time frame, He meets with Moses and Elijah. So Moses and Elijah miraculously appear, and Jesus goes and talks, and Peter, James, and John are like, staring at this incredibly glowing experience on the top of the mountain. Light is often another inspiration illustration. You know, if you ever have a good idea that's like, you know, they had a cartoon, boing, you know, the light bulb comes above, like it's that you've been inspired, that the light came on. And so light is often used that. Yeah, you know, we talk about brides that, you know, when they're walking down, oh, she was just so radiant. And actually, there's science behind that, that if you are deeply in love, that your capillaries make your skin glow more. So you actually do glow a little bit. I thought that was really kind of cool. So, am I glowing? Or it's just the lights. Okay. And oftentimes, you know, when a speaker, you know, when that speaker, you know, they're really, really into their topic, that the speaker was on fire, that he's just glowing up there because he's radiating inspiration to people. And so I hope I'm radiating. The disciples, when they see this incredible experience that's going on, they're completely overwhelmed by it. Well, if you can imagine, you're praying with Jesus, he starts to glow, Moses and Elijah show up, and they're glowing, and so it's this incredible experience, and they're just overwhelmed by it. Now, there's often two responses to an overwhelming experience, and maybe you're one or the other. One, you just don't say anything, and that was James and John. They were just so overwhelmed. Scripture doesn't record that they said anything. Peter, though, becomes a babbler. Oh, wow, this is really great. And so he just starts to babble on. Babble on. Anyway, and so in this experience, they're having this mountaintop experience. It was a mystical and glorious, a divinely inspired visitation by God with a transcendent message. And the message was this, this is my son. And you know, this is just an incredible experience that they're having. And Peter says in his babbling that maybe we should build like shelters here. This mountaintop thing is good. It's really, really good. And this is amazing. And so what I want to do is we want to build some shrines here. And let's just stay on the mountaintop and live in this experience of inspiration. But the inspiration was not the end result. The purpose was not the temporary ecstasy of the inspiration moment. The inspiration moment was to move Jesus to complete the work. Jesus was rounding up his ministry here on earth. And he has this incredible experience, and God inspires him to be able to carry it on to completion. And so Jesus doesn't say, let's build shrines, let's stay here on the mountaintop. He says, let's do what needs to be done. God inspired him to complete the work. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he inspired people. As he went around and ministered and talked and performed miracles, it inspired people. There was a wealthy cheat named Zacchaeus. Now, many people, if you've been in the church, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You know, so we probably know a couple things about that he was a tax collector, that he was short. He was according to the song, a wee, wee little man. And Jesus went to his house, according to the song, he went for tea, but I think he went for dinner. And Jesus inspired this man so much that he paid back all the money that he had been taken plus some, because Jesus inspired him and changed his life, and it came out in his behaviors. A Samaritan woman, Jesus meets her at the well, and he promises her living water, and he tells her all about her life, and Jesus so inspires her that she goes into the town and says, come see this man, come. And so she transforms into an evangelist, bringing everybody out to see Jesus, because Jesus had inspired her and changed her life. Jesus inspired Peter to do something totally irrational. He got himself out of a boat. They were in the middle of a storm on a lake. Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, call me out." Jesus calls him out, and Peter steps on the water, and he walks on the water at least a couple steps anyway before he focused on the waves and crashes into the water. But Jesus inspired Peter to get out of the boat and do something so risky and so irrational just because Jesus inspired him to do it. A woman fights through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She's had health issues for years, and she sees Jesus, and she thinks, if I just get close enough to him and grab his garment, I know that God can heal me. And so Jesus, in the midst of this busy crowd that are all reaching to try to touch him, trying to see Jesus, this woman sneaks through the crowd or pushes her way through the crowd and just grabs his garment because she was so inspired by Jesus' teaching and actions. And Jesus responds and says, "Who touched me? I felt power go out of me." And so Jesus had inspired faith in this woman, and Jesus knew it. And her life was transformed and changed. Jesus inspired a group of friends to go to somebody's house, not their house, and cut a hole in the roof in order to be able to lower their friend down because they thought that Jesus could heal him. Jesus inspired them to do something that was so off the wall. And Jesus inspires people. And the message that Jesus taught, the inspiring message that Jesus went around to the world and let them know was that, because everybody wants to know who God is and how do I know him. And Jesus went around and he said, the inspiring message is that God is love, he is always good, and that God wants to be known. And so as Jesus went around, this was the message, the inspirational message that he was bringing to people. God loves you, God is always good, and God wants to know you. God is love. You know, scripture Jesus taught, Matthew 6, that he cares for sparrows, that he watches over flowers, that he has each one of our hairs on our head numbered, and that we don't have to worry about things because God loves us. How much more that God loves us than all these other things? Jesus taught in Luke chapter 15, he uses a number of illustrations that are lost illustrations to show us about who God is and what God wants to do. And he says that God wants to find people. That he will go and leave, you know, use the sheep as an illustration. That he's going to leave nine of the 99 and he's going to go find that lost one individual. That God wants to find people who are lost. And that those people are worth an all-out search in order to be able to find them. That's the kind of God that there is. That he loves you and he wants, beyond anything else, to find you. And that when he finds you, that he rejoices. And when anybody steps into a relationship with Christ, I remember hearing one speaker talk about that, you know, at one point in heaven, if you made a decision to follow Christ, that your name was the name that was on the wall. It was at one point when I was 14 years old, I made a decision and there was a banner on the wall that in heaven that said, "Welcome home, John." And it's the same for you. At one point, it was your name. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, that it was your name that was written on the wall. And if you've never stepped into a relationship with Christ, Jesus wants to make the banner that to welcome you home. And Jesus goes on and he teaches one of the most incredible stories about the prodigal son. And he says that there was a son who was lost. And he squandered his life and he wasted his life and he blew all his money on things that were not good. And he ends up in the most dire circumstances, living and eating with the pigs. And God says that like a father that has a wayward son, he's waiting for him to return. And actually, when he sees him in a distance, he runs and he chases him down. And that's the kind of God who loves us. And then Jesus showed us the full extent of his love. No greater love has anyone that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us so that we could have eternal life. And that's what Jesus does. God wants to show us that he is good, that he orchestrates our life and our circumstances. We just finished up a series of messages in Romans chapter 8, and I would encourage you, if you didn't watch that series, to watch the messages on the goodness of God and how God is orchestrating our lives to bring out good. And God is good, and he wants the best for each of us. Sometimes our circumstances may not all be smooth sailing, but God is working everything out for good. And God tells us that he is faithful to complete the work that he begins in our life. And so when God starts something, he is faithful to complete the work. And so God shows his goodness. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God shows his goodness by saying that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And so God wants so much to inspire you to be his work of art, to live for this great, incredible purpose that is beyond ourselves. God is good. And God wants to be known. When Jesus came to the earth, it said that his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. God wanted us to know that he was with us, that we are not alone. The Bible tells us that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, that God is a God who wants to be known. And you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. But the Bible tells us that we need to be still and know that he is God. I think that this has been one of the main purposes in everything that's happened around here, is it's forced us to be still, to set aside activity, because it is in the stillness that we find God. And so God wants us to be still and know that he is God. Because when we find him, we will know that there is nothing greater in all of the world. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul said, in the knowing, when we discover that God wants to be known and we begin to know him, Paul says that there is absolutely nothing. Everything is considered loss. He says, I consider it to be rubbish. I consider it to be garbage. Everything in the world is garbage in comparison to this thought, to know Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And so Jesus says that God wants to be known. And Paul says, when I found out that I could know him, and I did, there is absolutely nothing greater in all of creation. And as we look at history, there is nothing like this in the entire literature of the ancient world, sacred and secular. Jesus modeled God interacting with people, talking with people, getting to know people. And Scripture teaches us that the God of the universe loves you, that He's good all the time, and He wants to be known. There is nothing else like this. This idea was so totally different than anything that was in history. And His inspiration lives on. It lives on in art. For the last 2,000 years, some of the greatest artworks have been inspired by Christ to the glory of God. He's inspired music. Jesus never wrote a song. There's only one spot in the Bible that says that He sang a song, and that was after the Last Supper. It says they sang a song and they went out. But Jesus Himself and His life inspired so many people. There is more music. He's the only person that has his own genre at the Grammys. Think about that for a second. It's 2,000 years after Christ, and there is a gospel category at the Grammy Awards. He has his own category. That's amazing. Anyway, books and poetry. There have been more books written about Christ than anyone else in all of history. He's inspired poetry. And so Christ continues to inspire. Jesus is responsible for a massive outpouring of creativity that is probably, historians say, without parallel. Jesus has inspired over the last 2,000 years an influx of creativity that is beyond compare. And Paul says the impact of his inspiration is this: for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Paul says, for Christ's love compels us. Or what is it? What else does he mean? For Christ's love inspires us. It inspires us to live differently. And Paul says it inspires us so much that we decide we're not going to live for our own selfish agenda. We're not going to live for our own self-gratification. We are going to live for something greater. Christ's love inspires us so that I no longer live a meaningless existence. I have purpose, and I have a plan, and I have power in order to be able to complete it. Jesus inspires us. So we need to be inspired. There has been nobody in all of creation, in all of history, that has been like God. God is love, God is good, and God wants to be known. And maybe you've never ever stepped into a relationship with Christ. I would encourage you to let Jesus inspire you to live beyond yourself. Life is just meaningless and has no purpose, and you need Jesus to inspire you to live for something greater. And if you make the decision, it's going to be your banner day, your day to have the banner on the wall. And so I would encourage you, take a moment right now, say, Jesus, I need you to inspire me to live for something greater. I want you to come into my life because my life is meaningless and it has no purpose. Would you come into my life? And I want to believe in you. Let it be your banner day. Be inspired. But for some of us, you know what? We've been Christians for a long time. I became Christian the summer between grade 8 and grade 9. I've been a Christian a while now. And when you get to have a few years under your belt, life begins to take its toll. And you start to lose some of that initial inspiration and excitement about coming into a relationship with Christ. Jesus was talking to one of the churches in Revelation. And he said, you've lost your first love. And for some of us, Jesus doesn't inspire us the way that he used to. We used to be inspired to get up and read his word and pray. We used to be inspired to tell others about Jesus. But you know, we just kind of getting caught up in life, caught up in building security in our life. And we've lost the original passion that we had for following Jesus. And Jesus says to us, return to your first love. Be inspired again. Don't just waste your life. Don't be satisfied with a saved soul and a wasted life. Be inspired. Return to your first love. God loves you. God is good. And God wants to be known by you. And lastly, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Over the last 2,000 years, we talked about this. There has been an influx of creativity, and God has made you as his workmanship. You are his work of art, and he wants you to use whatever you have for his glory. And so whatever it is, share it, write it, sing it, saute it, photograph it, sculpt it, build it, crochet it, perform it, sew it, lead it, run for it, paint it, bake it, video it, whatever it is, be inspired and create to the glory of God. God wants us to be so inspired with him that we spread our inspiration to those around us. And so let's just use everything that we have. You know, while you say, well, you know, it's really not that good. It doesn't matter. God wants you to use whatever you have for his glory. Be inspired. Don't waste all the wonderful things that God has blessed and given to you. Create to the glory of God. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth, and he still inspires today. Let Jesus inspire you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus came to this earth to inspire us, that when he spoke with passion, and it changed people's lives. God, may that change our lives today so that we use our inspiration to be able to help bless others and to see you, that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Father, for those of us that have wandered away, that we've lost our first love, God, call us back. Inspire us again to live fully and completely for you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing the song, The Stand. And I would encourage you, if you feel comfortable at home, to stand and just to make this your prayer, to give yourself fully to him, that he inspires you, and so that you can be an inspiration. Let's sing together.
Upon your shoulders, my soul now. what can I say? What can I do? And offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, your Spirit.
I hope you made that song your prayer, where it says, all I am is yours. That you would use all the things that God has given you, whether it be baking or whether it be some creative thing, some song, whatever it is, use it all for the glory of God. Jesus inspires us so that we can live not for ourselves, but for Him. And so let's make that our goal as we go through this week, that we would use the things that God has given us for His glory, His kingdom come, His will be done. God bless you as you go through your week, praying that you would be encouraged, that you would use all that God has given you to encourage others, and that we would continue to be safe in all our behaviors. God bless you. Have a great week.